The word for our preaching text this morning comes to us from the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Now, Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, who was the daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Padan Aram. She was the sister of Laban the Aramean. Now, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah conceived. But the children within her womb struggled together, so much so that she said, "If this is what it's going to be like, then why do I bother living?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord told her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you will be divided. One will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger." Now, when her time came to give birth, it turned out that her child was twins. The first came out all red. He was covered all over with hair, like a shroud about him, and so they named him Esau. That means hairy. Afterward, his brother came out, and he was gripping Esau's heel, so they named him Jacob. That means heel. Now, Isaac, he was 60 years old when Rebekah bore them. And as the boys grew, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was a man of the field. But Jacob was a quiet man, living in tents. And Isaac, he loved Esau because he was fond of game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. One day, Esau came in after hunting. He came in from the field, and he was famished. And Jacob was cooking a stew. And so Esau said to him, "Let me gobble up some of that red stuff because I'm famished." But Jacob said to him, "Sell me your birthright first." Esau replied to him, "I'm about to die. What good is a birthright to me?" So Jacob said to him, "Swear to me." So Esau swore and sold Jacob his birthright. Then Jacob gave him lentil stew and bread. And Esau ate it, rose up, and went on his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. This is a story about God's people, and it's for the people of God. Please be seated. So Renata has a story for the young people and for anyone else who'd like to hear it. She's going to be out here in the pink chairs. You might all want to go because the name of the story is Two Crazy Pigs. I keep saying it's one of my favorites, but I might as well just admit they're all my favorite. So you hear about Jacob and Esau and the two crazy pigs on the Fenster farm. They're coming. They're coming. They're thinking about it. While they're thinking about it, I'll get some water. Today's story is much longer than we had time for, especially to keep you standing. What follows after this is the story of Isaac nearing the end of his life. And as he nears the end of his life, he loses his eyesight. And so he says to Esau, who is the one he loves, "Esau, you know how I love the game that you bring home and the way that you cook savory food. So can you go and hunt some game and cook for me a savory meal so that I might eat your cooking one more time? And then I'll bless you and die. And so Esau goes out to hunt, but Rebekah is kind of listening in on the conversation, and she hears what Isaac tells Esau, and so she runs to Jacob, whom she loves, and she says to him, quick, go get two kids from our flock and bring them in so that I can cook a savory stew. And so while Esau's out hunting, she prepares the kids and makes a stew, and then she brings Jacob in to Isaac's room, to Esau's room, and dresses him in Esau's clothes, and then she takes the skin from the kids and she puts part of it on the back of his smooth neck and on his arms, and then she sends him in with the stew to Isaac. And Isaac, who can't see very well, smells the smell of his son Esau. You know how our odor gets into our clothes. He smells Esau, and he reaches out and touches his arms and feels the hairy arms and says, oh, Esau, my son, my son. And he begins to eat the stew, and then he blesses the wrong child. And Esau comes back with the stew, and he comes in and says, here I am, Father. Eat my stew. I'm ready to receive your blessing. And Isaac says, what do you mean? I've already blessed you. And in that moment, they figure out that they've been duped by Rebekah and Isaac. And Isaac says to Esau, I've already given my blessing. I don't have another to give. And in one of the most heartbreaking moments in the scripture, Esau says to his father, Father, don't you have a blessing for me too? Don't you have a blessing for me too? Isaac says, I've given it away. And Esau rises up in anger against his brother. He hates his brother, the scripture tells us. And he says, I swear I will kill him. Rebekah hears this too, and so she runs to Jacob and she says, go now as fast as you can, run to my brother Laban. Run for your life. And Jacob leaves. We don't get more than 3 chapters into the book of Genesis where we encounter enmity between brothers. We get 3 chapters in, and we hear about Cain and Abel and their sacrifices, and one brother is jealous of the sacrifice to God of another. Their sacrifices to God. One is jealous of the sacrifice of the other and rises up and murders his brother. And here, 22 chapters later, 23, 24 chapters later, here it is again, the enmity of brothers. And this time we hear them fighting in the womb so much so that their mother wants to kill herself. It seems the enmity between us is born with us. From the moment of our conception, we are jealous creatures. We look at one another and we judge what the other one has and we decide it's better than what we have, and then we spend our energy fighting to get it. How can you sell your birthright? The firstborn is the firstborn. Yet, what an expensive transaction for Esau. Go ahead, you pretend like you're first, he might as well have said, because I'm starving to death, and what good is it to me to claim the right of the firstborn if I'm dead? But what kind of relationship is that between brothers? A brother comes in hungry and the other one withholds food. Totally ridiculous. Sometimes I think about this story and I think, my God, there's only four people in the family and none of them get along. Right from the beginning, the brothers are fighting in the womb and the parents are choosing which child they love more than the other. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, how ridiculous is that? Because I remember the day that Paul came to me and accused me of loving Matthew more than him. Ever had your kids do that? You love her more than me. You love him more than me. Our children are our children, beloved one and all, each one. You know, in that moment with Paul, I had to think of something to say. He was the younger, Matthew the older, so I said to him, no, I don't love him more, I just loved him first. I've loved him longer. But who says, I love you because you're quiet and you live in a tent, and I love you because you hunt? And we see where it leads. These little bits of favoritism and these little bits of envy and jealousy, the clamoring after what another has. Unless we think this is an ancient story, we need look no further than yesterday to Halifax. Yesterday in Halifax, there was a protest about the statue of Edward Cornwallis, who came from Britain and claimed Nova Scotia for the British, became the first governor of Halifax. Because, see, when he came in 1749, that same year, he issued the scalping proclamation. He put a price on the head of all the Mi'kmaq and said, whoever kills a Mi'kmaq and brings me their scalp, I'll pay you a bounty. What is that? Except the same story repeated. People look out at what another has and they decide that what another has is more valuable than what they have, and so they do whatever they need to do to take it. And that, my friends, is the founding of this country. It's in us and it's in our history. It's in the birth of our nation and it's in our families. And this might be why Jesus says in the New Testament, judge not lest you be judged. If you have something going on with your brother or your sister, work it out before you dare come to my altar. Because the fact of the matter is that what we have is valuable and precious in its own right. I don't need to look to my husband and say, what you have is better than what I have, so I'm not going to feed you unless you do what I want. We get it when it's on this level, but when it's between Jacob and Esau, it seems so far removed that we have trouble with it. We get it when it's our children fighting with one another, because how many mothers have said, would you two just knock it off? See, what it means to follow Jesus is to look at our brothers and sisters and see what they have and say, good for you. How lovely and right and beautiful is your life? What kind of world would we have if we responded to people that way? If Putin looked at the Crimea Peninsula and said, what a great piece of land, good for you. Instead of what a good piece of land, I think I'll take that for myself. Because until human beings get that peace, we're destined to fight with one another about everything. About land and birthright and stew. About position and power and which child is better than another. But this story also teaches us something else. Because in the beginning of the story, we hear Isaac prayed for his wife because she was barren. And God answered her prayer and she conceived. And Rebecca, in her turmoil, oh, if it's going to be like this, I might as well die. So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to her. And the Lord told her what was going on. See, if we have enmity and strife, between colonizers and indigenous peoples, maybe what we ought to do is turn to the Lord. If we have enmity between brother and brother, maybe what we ought to do is turn to the Lord. Between husband and wife, maybe what we ought to do is turn to the Lord. Because the promise of the scripture is that God answers prayer. And maybe the real problem is in us and not in the other one. Jacob's problem was in Jacob, and Rebecca's in Rebecca. And Cornwallis is in Cornwallis. But what are we to do now, 150 some odd years later, more than that? What are we to do now that our families are the way they are and our country is the way that it is? Maybe what we ought to do is turn to the Lord. What are your prayers as you think about this 150th anniversary of Canada? What are your prayers for our nation? As you look out over Putin and Crimea and Russia and Turkey and Somalia and Sudan, Eritrea, what are your prayers? Because when we take a big view, the prayer, I think it's all the same. If I can speak for you, I think our prayer is for the healing of the nations. Our prayer is for the healing between Ukraine and Russia, between the government of Turkey and the leaders of Hizmet, between Israel and Palestine, between Matthew and Paul, because nations are born of us. God answers prayer. Especially when we direct our prayers rightly. Esau and Jacob, Rebecca and Isaac, Sarah and Hagar, Abraham and Ishmael. For the healing of the nations, we pray to you, O God. Bangladesh and India,
peace be yours.
Taiwan and China,
peace be yours.
Japan and Hong Kong,
peace be yours.
North and South Korea,
peace be yours.
Indonesia, Vietnam,
peace be yours.
Thailand, Malaysia,
peace be yours.
Philippines and Australia,
peace be yours.
Papua New Guinea,
peace be yours.
Iraq and Iran,
peace be yours.
Palestine and Israel,
peace be yours.
Afghanistan, Jordan,
peace be yours.
Syria and Turkey,
peace be yours.
We pray to you, O God.
For the healing of the nations, we pray to you, O God.
France and Spain,
peace be yours.
Switzerland and Italy,
peace be yours.
Romania and Slovenia,
peace be yours.
Czech and Slovak Republic,
peace be yours. peace be yours.
Austria and Hungary,
peace be yours.
Croatia, Montenegro,
peace be yours.
Latvia and Poland,
peace be yours.
Norway and Sweden,
peace be yours.
Iceland and Denmark,
peace be yours.
Netherlands and Germany,
peace be yours.
Ireland and England,
peace be yours.
For the healing of the nations, we pray to you, O God.
For the healing of the nations, we pray to you, O God.
South Africa, Angola,
peace be yours.
Madagascar, Namibia,
peace be yours.
Botswana, Malawi,
peace be yours.
Mozambique, Zimbabwe,
peace be yours.
Sierra Leone,
peace be yours.
Central African Republic,
peace be yours.
Senegal, Liberia,
peace be yours.
Cameroon, Nigeria,
peace be yours.
Tanzania, Sudan,
peace be yours.
Kenya and Congo,
peace be yours.
Ethiopia, Somalia,
peace be yours.
Eritrea, Rwanda,
peace be yours.
For the healing of the nations, we pray to you, O God.
For the healing of the nations, we pray to you, O God.
Bolivia and Chile,
peace be yours.
Uruguay and Paraguay,
peace be yours.
Ecuador, Guyana,
peace be yours.
Brazil and Argentina,
peace be yours.
Colombia, Venezuela,
peace be yours.
Costa Rica, Mexico,
peace be yours.
Salvador, Honduras,
peace be yours.
Nicaragua, Guatemala,
peace be yours.
Greenland and Canada,
peace be yours.
Haiti and Jamaica,
peace be yours.
United States and Cuba,
peace be yours.
All immigrants and exiles,
peace be yours.
For the healing of the nations, we pray to you, O God.
For the healing of the nations, we pray to you, O God.
For the nations of the world,
peace be yours.
And for all the peoples,
peace be yours.
For each tribe and family,
peace be yours.
And for all creation,
peace be yours.
For the healing of the nations, we pray to you.
Holy God, we were yours before we drew breath, and still we will be yours when the pulse of life ceases. In every fragile, reckless moment, we belong to you. We thank you for the desire of our parents.